Welcome to the Zephyr Hills Alliance Church podcast, where two pastors process the context of church and the practice of discipleship. This week, Ted and I continue our discussion of spiritual gifts by talking about the gift of prophecy. We talk about what it means to prophesy and how that gift can function in the church today. We reflect on a passage of scripture, and we talk about the summertime. Thanks for joining us. This is episode 36 of the Zach Pod.
Summer is in full swing. About to go on vacation. You ready?
Medical
tourism in Thailand.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because the hospitals are really nice and it's a lot cheaper.
Ah, there you go.
When we lived in China, I used to go to Thailand for medical stuff
for medical stuff all the time.
Yeah, and dental stuff. And,
oh, that's cool.
Oh, yeah. Once you go one time, you'd be like, wow, the system is way better than anything I've ever
experienced.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, we should go there.
Yeah, you get used to like the American way of things and like, how much is it going to cost? Oh, well, it depends on blah, blah, blah. Yeah. It's all just like up there on the wall in Thailand. Here's how much this costs. You know, it's very clear and very helpful.
Doctor World is definitely an interesting place to be in. And so it challenges your pocketbook, challenges your faith.
Yeah.
It challenges everything about you. But then we're going to take some time and go North Florida and visit our friends, Tony and Cheryl, in the Apalachicola National Forest. So,
okay, cool.
We'll see the pine trees.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, that'll be exciting.
Apalachicola, so still in Florida?
Still in Florida, and there you have a cabin, and it's located near a place called Tate's Hell.
Tate's Hell.
Yeah, Tate's Hell. So
it's going to be really hot?
It's going to be hot. It'll be, it'll be right on the doorstep, you know.
Of hell.
Of hell.
You're just smelling.
Lord of the Rings.
The Eye of Sauron.
The Eye of Sauron, yeah. The ring, my precious. But anyway, we'll be there. No, it'll be fine. There's a story about Tate. I guess he was in the 1800s or 1900s. I got my history all wrong. But anyway, this gentleman went out in the forest, and I guess, I don't know if he survived or whatever, but it took him a long time. Anyway, they named the whole place after him.
Okay.
So it must have been not an enjoyable time.
Mm. Oh, I see.
Naming it hell.
He suffered in the forest.
He suffered in the forest.
Oh, this was Tate's Hell.
Tate's Hell.
So now
that's what
there.
I think. Yeah.
What a thing to name it after. You know,
yeah,
I think maybe they didn't want people to come.
Probably not. No, no.
Yeah, you name it that so that'll keep people out.
Yeah, I think we need to get bug spray or whatever. There's one place where they have a long, you know, like a long deck you can walk out to and park, and then it opens up to this swamp area. But getting there is a challenge because there's wasps, bees, horseflies, and all that come after you.
Yeah.
Ah, there's some fresh meat. Yeah.
We just finished our vacation, and there was, just speaking of bugs, we were up in Virginia and during the heat wave in July, and man, it was just like so many bugs. Ashley was very nervous about ticks. You know, we're going to get ticks, and you can't eat meat or whatever.
Right.
You got to be, what's that? I don't know what the disease is called, but you get bit
Lyme
by one
disease.
Tick. Well, there's Lyme disease, but then there's another one that's like you get bit by one tick, and then you can't eat meat. You become allergic to meat.
Oh, my
or like
goodness.
Anything
wow.
that even has like a hoof in it. This guy, this guy up there, Jim, was going on and on about it. He's like, I can't take a capsule because it's made of hoof. And he's just like, because he got the whatever the tick disease.
Whatever that disease is.
So there's obviously a lot of outdoor things, but everyone in my family, besides me, was very nervous of ticks. And so we did go on a hike, and it was a pretty strenuous hike. It was advertised as such. It's called the Peaks of Otter. There's a dude named Otter, I guess. One of the peaks is called Sharp Top. That's the one that you do when you want like a challenge. So did that one.
Oh,
and
yay.
Yeah, it was great. Everybody hung in there and handled it. And they mostly didn't complain. But the bugs were a lot. So they like, River especially, was like running up the mountain. And then she got by herself, so she got nervous. But it's just bugs, you know, once you get to a certain. And then when you got to the very, very top, it was windy enough that the bugs wouldn't, like,
the bugs wouldn't go up that high.
Land on you or whatever.
Yeah,
and
that's
so
pretty
that
good.
Was, like, a nice respite when you get up to the top of the mountain. But really nice views of the, you know, Blue Ridge and everything.
That's great. I told your oldest daughter, I said, I was so thankful. I saw pictures of you going on the hike. And I said, I was so thankful that you were with your dad and you helped him not get lost. Not that you would even get lost. You're such a good hiker.
Yeah.
But
it was fun.
Yeah.
We went and there was some land that my mom had inherited. She's trying to get rid of. That's like where I proposed to Ashley. So I took, I wanted to take the girls and show them, but you know, Ashley's like, there's ticks. So River was brave and she went with me and we walked back and saw the cows that were on that land and the pond and the area where, where all that happened. We have some pictures, some engagement photos that we took, you know, when we were like in our 20s and we look like babies. So I was
she didn't worry about the ticks then.
No.
Oh.
I was showing River all those places.
Yeah.
And then we went to a baseball game, 4th of July, you know.
There you go. That's
watched
great.
Watched some baseball.
Baseball. That's
and,
right.
And watched some fireworks. And it was a pretty good 4th of July. Ate a hot
yeah,
dog.
Yeah, that's good.
Celebrated America.
Yeah. My brother texted me this morning as we're recording this on this day at 6:30. Says something about let the dogs rule because today's National Hot Dog Day.
Today.
That's what they said.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, when we go to lunch later, we should think about that.
We should think about
maybe
that.
Maybe we get a cheap hot dog.
Yeah, something.
You got heart stuff.
I can. I got heart stuff. I got Dr. World.
Find you a vegan hot dog. Do you know, I once went to a vegan hot dog food truck, and the hot dogs were carrots. It was a carrot on a bun.
A carrot on a bun.
Yeah, they cooked the carrot. I don't know how they did it. It didn't taste like meat. It was like, no, it's not. But it was literally
a carrot.
Bun with a carrot. And like, it was cooked, but still. I'm like,
that's did they put ketchup and mustard and onion?
They dressed it just like a hot dog. But it was a carrot. It was very funny.
Now, well, I'm not there yet.
Alta Vista, the town where my mom's from, they have...
That's funny.
Their hot dogs are red or pink. They're like radioactive pink, like bright, bright red.
Okay.
I guess they dye them. I don't
know. Radioactive.
But my cousins, they were like, I never knew a hot dog wasn't red till I left the state.
Oh,
and I went
out,
I was like, what are these brown hot dogs? Or these weird pink ones? Like, they're bright red if you go to the Dairy Freeze in Alta
Vista.
Right. The Dairy Freeze has been around since, like... You know, when my mom was a teenager, that's where they went, you know, in town.
Yeah.
And the teenagers still go there. It's a very small town. But bright red hot dogs.
Bright red hot dogs.
This year, we're talking about spiritual gifts.
Yes.
And we're going to return to that topic today. I remember our main kind of driving scripture is in 1 Peter 4, where it says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory. So we're talking about gifts that people have, but we're definitely wanted to relate it back to, man, these are spiritual gifts. These come from the Holy Spirit, and they're for a reason. It's to build up the body, to bring glory to God, and edify one another. And there's that verse that says, if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. And today we're going to talk about the gift of prophecy. Prophecy is one of the gifts on the list.
It's there.
And it's not an exhaustive list in Scripture, but these are just various ways that the body can be built up, you know, through people. You know, God fills people with different gifts in order to build up the body and advance the kingdom of God. Prophecy, the spiritual gift of prophecy. What's your experience with it? What's the first thing that you think of when you think about it? We could talk about like in terms of like the Old Testament prophecy or prophecy in the New Testament, the spiritual gift of prophecy. What are the things that come to your mind?
When you see that prophecy, and I think of it in two ways. One, you know, immediately probably if you are a follower of Jesus or familiar with Christianity and you hear the word prophecy, you think about, oh, you know, telling the future, the end times, and, you know, the apocalypse, you know, what's going to happen in Revelation and all that, prophecy, that kind of thing. You can even tie that into, well, all the Old Testament had prophets, and they gave prophecy regarding the Messiah. And if you study Scripture, Jesus is the one who fulfilled all that and more, and he's coming again. But then we also see on the second part of that, not only a foretelling, but it is declaring, as the verse said, speaking God's truth. So prophecy is when we gather together and the pastor begins to declare the word of God and proclaim the word of God, the truth of God's word, in a way that people hear it and they receive it and the Holy Spirit is working through that message in such a way. That's the proclamation of prophecy as well, preaching. And so it's proclaiming God's truth.
Yeah. I feel like there's maybe a distinction between when I'm preaching and when somebody is prophesying, at least in my mind. And the distinction would be when you say, "Thus saith the Lord."
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like what I just said is God speaking to you. Now, if I'm reading scripture, I'm obviously confident with that. But if you've spoken before, you and I both preached a lot, or even if you're just having a conversation with somebody and you feel like the Holy Spirit is telling you what to say, or like putting words in your mouth.
Right.
Even then, it's hard to say, thus saith the Lord.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what a prophet says, because a prophet is saying, I'm speaking for God.
Right.
And that is a gift that even if I've operated in that gift before, I've been very hesitant to say. Only because it feels very, it feels something.
I feel
uncomfortable. Right?
Yeah, sometimes we might say, well, I believe the Lord is saying to you.
Very gently.
Very gently.
I believe.
I believe the Lord is saying to you this. I've been in services where, you know, there is, and I don't know if this ties in with the prophetic gift, maybe some who hold to that particular persuasion and the Christian faith would say, I think so. You know, the whole idea of the word of knowledge, you know, when you stand in or you're in a congregation and the Lord speaks and someone comes up to you and says, I believe the Lord is saying this, you know, or the Lord, thus saith the Lord, there is that word that the Holy Spirit, and I believe God in his infinite wisdom and power and might can do that.
Yeah.
He can reveal to an individual, a brother or sister in Christ, some word or truth that will speak to another person's life specifically, intentionally, for that individual.
You might call it a prophetic word.
A prophetic word.
And it could even be a word of scripture. It's like, hey, God laid this scripture on my heart for you.
Correct.
And then you can be a lot more confident, hey, God said this.
Yeah, if it is, it will be, and I will say that, I think there are, boundaries. It will not be a word that is contrary to anything in Scripture.
Sure. Yeah.
It's going to be in agreement with God's word and in agreement with who God is, and it is to give glory to God.
I think we could say that honestly about all of the gifts, right? All of the gifts in operation, but especially when we're talking about preaching, speaking, tongues, prophetic words.
Yep.
Like one of the main ways that you test these things, and Scripture teaches you to test them, is to test them against Scripture. Do you know what I mean?
Test
them against
that's great.
And
yeah.
Absolutely. Obviously, we want to make that really clear that if somebody has a word, it has to line up with Scripture. If it doesn't, you should be cautious of accepting that as the word of God.
Of the Lord.
That God has spoken. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I've been in a lot of different kinds of churches, you know, where things like tongues and prophecy were very discouraged, although they don't really say that, but it's clearly, it's much more about order and they don't want anybody speaking up, you know, who's not supposed to. And then I've been in churches that are more charismatic and feel a lot more free, and where anyone in the church is encouraged to speak out. If there's a way in a worship service, you know, the worship services are a lot more free flowing, and you know, people will stand and declare scripture, declare a word. Also been in like individual conversations where, you know, you're praying for someone and you feel like you receive a word for them or they receive a word for you.
Yes.
And I don't know, have you ever had an experience like that either where somebody else gave God a word for you that stands out in your like spiritual journey where someone was speaking and like a prophetic word to you?
Yeah. Well, I mean, personally for me, you know, when I was a teenager and young person, there was a time we had a Bible study at someone's house, friends of the church or whatever, and some of the men of the church, at that point, everybody was there, but they grabbed me and they grabbed the pastor's son, and they kind of like had a prophetic word for us. I was young enough to know and remember, but not old enough to remember specifically what they said, but basically their intent was, they were praying and they were saying that God was going to use both of us for his honor and glory as servants of his, you know, that kind of thing. And that was, I was 12 or 13, I think, at the time. So there was that personal expression. For me in ministry over the years, God has definitely laid on my heart verses for individuals to share with them. I don't know if I've ever said, thus saith the Lord. I've had in counseling sessions, God has, as I've prayed over different things, and then you deal with that counselee, that individual, you begin to ask questions in a loving, redemptive way. Has the Lord ever spoken to you about, or have you ever done this, you know, because the Holy Spirit wants his children to walk in righteousness and holiness with a clean heart and a clean mind. So forgiveness is huge, and personal confession of sin is huge, and personal cleansing is huge. Right. And that's all part of that prophetic thing.
Well, I think there's times like in that situation that you're describing where we're operating in experience.
Yes.
I've heard this story 100 times. I know what I need to ask you. You know what I mean? And then when it clicks, we're like, well, did God give me that word this time? Or was it? So
yeah, that's true.
In one sense, it doesn't matter because we're talking about, like I said, the lists are not exhaustive. And some of these things are a little bit arbitrary. So what's the difference between a word of knowledge or wisdom or encouragement, prophecy, they can be muddled. Do you know what I mean? And it can kind of, in some ways, be the same thing.
Sure.
But I also like talking specifically about it just because this is the thing that gets talked about a lot, you know, prophetic stuff.
Correct. Well, we're afraid of that
or super into it.
When God shows up, people have to respond.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's like, okay, God showed up. You know, I was thinking about the disciples on their way to the temple to worship the Lord. And the beggar on the street says to him, give me whatever. And Peter and John said, hey, I don't have anything really to give you, but what I have, I'll give you the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk. And this lame guy gets up and walked. Now, was that a word of prophecy? Well, in a way it was. Was it declaring God's greatness? It definitely was. Was it ministering to that lame individual? It definitely did.
Yeah, it's a miracle. It's a healing.
Changed his life. Yeah. It was a healing event, but it was also the word of God was proclaimed over that individual, and it turned the whole town again upside down to focus upon Jesus. So that's kind of interesting.
You brought up at the beginning, you know, there's the prophetic of like foretelling, and then there's like forthtelling. This is how I've heard it described. So foretelling is like describing the events that are going to happen. That's how a lot of people think of the Old Testament prophets. But honestly, the majority of what the Old Testament prophets did was not foretelling. There's a little bit of it, and that's what people get really focused on. They said this was going to happen, and then it came true.
Right.
And then which is real.
Absolutely.
And also, some people get really into that, and they're like, this is the thing that convinces me, you know. So then it becomes really important that everything lines up, you know, and that's where you can run into trouble with prophetic interpretation. But that is a part of it, like, so foretelling what's going to happen. But a lot of what the Old Testament prophets did was what we call forthtelling, which is kind of what you're saying. It's just like proclaiming the truth of God. Foretelling is revealing what God's going to do, which could include like warnings of impending consequences, as well as promises of restoration and the words about the Messiah. Those are all foretelling. Forthtelling would be delivering God's perspective on the current reality.
Yeah.
So most of what the prophets did is they're calling out injustice.
Yes.
And they're like, God's not okay with this.
Yeah.
Confronting idolatry.
Yes.
Of, you know, the kings and even the priests.
Yeah.
And urging the nation back to the covenant, right? That's the function of a prophet, is like saying, here's what God thinks about this.
That's right.
And it's mostly that. Yeah. In the Old Testament, if you read the Old Testament prophets, it is mostly that.
Yeah.
And it's some, God's going to do this, right? But a lot of it is that proclaiming, here's what God thinks about this. God thinks that is good. God thinks that what you just did is bad. The way that you're treating this person, or the way that you're treating this group of people, the way that you're, you know, there's lots of examples. I keep thinking about Isaiah because we preached through that book for so long. But so much of that was the prophet saying, giving God's perspective on current events, really.
Yep.
There's something about that is the prophetic gift.
Yes.
That's like declaring, what does God think?
Yes.
And there's something about that word of knowledge piece that you're talking about. I think that's what I've experienced the most of in my own walk when I think about the prophetic. You know, when I was a teenager in church, towards the end of high school, and I was getting really serious about my faith and really wanting to serve God with my life. And I remember I had this feeling, this desire of like, man, God's given me so much, but I want more of his presence. I want more of his spirit. I want to be able to serve him better. And I was at a youth Wednesday night, and we were praying, and the youth pastor came over, and he laid a hand on me to pray, and he started praying the exact same thing that I've been praying for myself. Mm. He was like, God, you know, Christian already has your Holy Spirit, but he wants more, and he wants to be able to serve you.
Yeah.
God was speaking directly through him, right?
Right.
To say that, like, I hear your prayers.
Right.
And I don't know if he knew as he was saying that, that like, hey, this is a word from God, or if he was just praying what came to his mind.
Yeah.
But as a teenager, when I heard that, I was like, this is real.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
And that's part of what prophecy is about, is that like, hey, this is a demonstration, a supernatural demonstration of the reality of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. That's for sure what I experienced in youth group that made me feel like I want to dedicate my life to this, was recognizing that this is real, that has a real impact. It's not just a story. This is a moment that, like, man, the Holy Spirit was moving, a prophetic word, a prophetic utterance. I've prayed for people before, and, you know, they've asked for a word from God. They've been like, what is God saying around this situation? So I pray, listen. Sometimes they'll give you like a picture. I've been in a prayer meeting. There's people that I call when I want wisdom and direction. People that I served within overseas and things like that, because I can count on them to listen to the Holy Spirit. And I know that they function in these gifts. They listen to the Holy Spirit, and they're like, okay, as I'm praying for you, I'm seeing this image, and I think it might mean this. They're usually pretty loose with it, like you're talking about. Like, what do you think? See how this sits with you?
Yeah.
You know, what is the Holy Spirit saying to you? Because we all have the Holy Spirit, but in community like that, you know, receiving words like that is so encouraging and really builds up the body, helps make decisions, helps you know, you know, God's nearness and presence, which is a big part of the reason the Holy Spirit is here. And so, and most of the time, I feel like not that sure. I'm like, well, here's what I'm seeing in my mind's eye. Here's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Is that just from me? Is that from God?
Sure.
You should test this, because I don't, you know, because I don't run around calling myself a prophet and feeling a whole lot of confidence.
Right.
But there's people that I know that I call to pray for me. They wouldn't call themselves prophets either.
Right.
But I feel very confident in the things that they hear from the Holy Spirit because of how many times I've felt that they've heard and discerned correctly for me in the past.
I think the role of prophecy, you have an element where God blesses that individual, and we all have the Holy Spirit, we all have the mind of Christ, but there seems to be that extra amount of grace and wisdom and knowledge for them. And I think when you look at the Old Testament and you look at the New Testament, you look at the prophets of Scripture that are laid out before us, you know, they've always spoken up when God asked them to.
Yeah.
They've always spoken out when God asked them to.
That's a whole other thing, being willing to say.
Yes, and they've always declared that, even in the midst of unpopular opinion or culture that's not agreeable with what they're saying.
Or like self-doubt, right?
Or self-doubt, you know, and they get beat up, persecuted, because they're standing for truth and righteousness. We're studying Jonah. You know, Jonah was considered a prophet
of God. Yeah.
He had that inside track. And when God said to him, arise and go to Nineveh, well, what did Jonah do? He didn't even, like Moses talked about it with God. God said to Moses, go to Egypt, and I want you to deliver my people. And then there's a long conversation with God. Jonah didn't have a conversation with God. What did Jonah do? He arose, but he's like, okay, I'm going to be like the cartoon character Snagglepuss and exit stage left. He tried to escape from God by getting far away, so he was going to Tarshish. He didn't even have a discussion of that. And I think if God puts a word upon your heart or upon my heart to declare, we really need, first of all, to discern,
Jonah's a really good example.
This is of God. Two, then if it is of God, then I'm going to do it, regardless of my personal views or opinion or belief. I'm going to obey God, to obey God, and in the midst of that declaration.
I think that's Jonah's a really good example of that. In Jonah's case, Jonah knew God was speaking. He was refusing to do it.
Yeah.
But I think
he knew it.
More likely, at least in my walk with God, it's more that, like, how confident am I that this is God speaking?
Right.
How confident am I? And it's not just my own,
riled up. Yeah, you know? getting fired up.
So, I think speaking for God, that's what a prophet does.
Yeah.
And that's, none of us want to do that, really, because it feels too heavy.
Yeah.
It's like, Scripture speaks for God. I don't speak for God.
It is heavy.
Right? It feels too heavy. It's like a heavy mantle. In the charismatic movement, people are more comfortable with it. But even then, they're still not saying necessarily, thus saith the Lord. There's some preachers that do that. And I understand that. That hesitance to be like,
sure.
I think this is the Lord. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, black and white, there is scripture that definitely defines the line. You know, you can definitely say, thus saith the Lord. You know, when you say, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. That's clear. Clear cut. You can definitely stand on that. You can say, thus saith the Lord, those kind of things. And when you go back to the Old Testament, people go to the Ten Commandments, you know, okay, children, obey your parents, you know, and so forth, honor your mother and father, you know, thus saith the Lord. There is value in Scripture.
And, for sure.
And when we are convicted of sin or we're living in sin, and that might be a whole other discussion, can a believer actually fellowship with God and continue in sin, you know, but there needs to be that clear communication from God. Hey, and the Holy Spirit will bring that conviction. And then we need to respond to that conviction and say, yes, Lord, I agree and forgive me. I agree with you and forgive me of my sin. Help me not to sin anymore. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. And then march ahead together in reconciliation. You know, when you see the prophets of old and the prophets of new, and even today, when people are speaking on God's behalf, it really is for God's glory, but it's also for reconciliation. It's also for redemption. God wants to move in the person's life to build Christ-like character, healing and hope and his love, just to become overflowing to that individual, so grace may abound.
Yeah, so I think maybe, you know, a way to say what you're saying is you could judge it by the fruit, right? So if the quote-unquote prophet and their message is leading to those sorts of things, what you just described, then that's another indication that this is from God.
Sure.
And if the fruit of it is not that, then perhaps they're not hearing from God.
You know, and maybe you've heard over the years, you know, where are the prophets of God today? You know, like, where are those who speak? You know, people rely heavily on some of the past writers like A.W. Tozer. They consider him a prophet of God because of how he spoke truth that was, at the time, countercultural. But you go back and read his writings, it's even true today on some of the stuff he says. But that's because God is still working through those writings and through messages today by many individuals that are not known or are known by individuals that will declare his redemptive purpose and his holiness.
Yeah, prophecy. The spiritual gift, the Holy Spirit-given ability to boldly communicate God's truth, will, and heart. Primarily meant to strengthen, encourage, and comfort believers, and it often manifests as divine revelation through a vision, a dream, or as some kind of supernatural knowing about people and about situations.
Yeah.
I think if you're curious about the gift of prophecy, that's a pretty solid definition for how it operates today. And it kind of encompasses both of that forthtelling, which is the primary function of a prophet, and then sometimes the foretelling, knowing supernaturally something that God is going to do or wants to happen. It's a thing that we hold very carefully, obviously. And I think the church has a good reason to hold it carefully. The church is, you know, and messages and church policies have been used for hundreds of years to lift people up and also to not do that.
Yeah.
And so you have to be very careful when you're speaking for the Lord. Yeah. And it's something that all of us, I think, who occasionally do it, even occasionally do it, are aware of. You know, and it's a heavy thing to have to consider, but that's really not how I want to think about prophecy. The way I want to think about prophecy is not as something heavy, but as something that's there to encourage and build up comfort and draw me nearer to God. That's how I've experienced it through others, you know?
Absolutely.
And so I think, it's a gift that should be in operation today in those ways. But let's look at a scripture real quick. 1 Corinthians 14:1-5. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edification. If you read the rest of 1 Corinthians 14, it's almost entirely about this issue about tongues versus prophecy and what is tongues about. And if we cover the gift of speaking in tongues later, I'm sure we'll return to 1 Corinthians 14. But this is just the opening sort of argument about tongues and prophecy that Paul has. And clearly he says they're both valuable in the assembly. But he says, I desire that you all prophesy. Yes. You know what I mean? I desire that you are all declaring these things that will edify, exhort, and comfort your brothers and sisters.
Yeah, I like that verse because that verse 3, it really gives that definition. Okay, he who prophesies, well, what is that? What is that? Well, it's a person who edifies and exhorts and is able to give comfort to others, and I think through Scripture, you know, and primarily. And I think that's
excellent. And through God speaking through you, you know, in prayer.
Absolutely, like, yes, in prayer.
If tongues is like our personal connection or demonstration of our personal connection to God, that's like it says, he who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, right? But nobody else, because nobody else understands what it is.
Right.
But he who prophesies
is
on behalf of the church, speaking from God to the rest, to everyone else.
Yep.
And he's like, man, I wish you all did that.
Yeah. So I think he was hoping that the church, the body of believers, would edify one another, encourage one another, build others up. You know, and then when those are who are hurting, come alongside and comfort them with God's comfort, you know.
Yeah.
And that's community, being in community. It's not saying, hey, I can be an island and live without the church, or I'm going to have church just by sitting home. No, I'm in community. I'm involved with others who are of the faith, and they can encourage me, and I can encourage them.
And that's what we've been saying the spiritual gifts are. For, you know, it's for building up and edifying the body. They're for community.
Yes.
So often churches divide over the use of these gifts, theologies split, denominations, etc. Which is a tragedy because the gifts are meant to edify, to build up the church and to create that community. Yeah. Can I know God on my own? Absolutely. Knowing God in community is better, right? Can I read the Bible on my own? For sure. I don't need anyone else to understand. But when I read the Bible in community, it's more edifying because I'm hearing other people's perspectives.
Absolutely.
Can I pray by myself? Sure. But when we pray together, other people are hearing different things from the Lord. You know, the Holy Spirit is active in them too.
Yes.
And that's the power of spiritual community.
Yes.
And I don't know that we emphasize that too much in our pretty individualistic culture.
Yes.
But certainly in the, you know, early church culture, the community was...
Community was huge.
Oh, yeah, it was huge. Right?
It was huge.
It's apparent in Acts and throughout these churches that Paul is starting and preaching in. That was like their togetherness, their bond was bigger than everything else, than all of the other class stuff.
Anything else. I need you, and, you know, I'm committed to you, you're committed to me, and we're in this journey of faith together.
And the gifts of the Spirit is like that glue. It's like that thing that is like, man, the Holy Spirit's moving here.
Yeah.
I want to be here.
Yeah.
So it's not just, what can I receive? Ooh, I got healed. That was part of it too,
right?
But it's also, man, I want to be where God is speaking.
Yeah.
And I also want to be used by him to speak to others.
Right. And there was a motivation. I love the first verse. It says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. Of course, he's coming off of the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, but pursue love. So as a member of this community, I'm all about God's love and loving others with his love, but I'm also desiring to build others up, edify, exhort, comfort them with the use of my spiritual gifts that God has given me and building in me.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Zach Pod. All of our content is created in-house by the ZAC Media Team. To learn more about the ministries of our church, follow us on Instagram or Facebook, and subscribe to our newsletter at zaccma.org. If you like what we're doing, please share the podcast with a friend and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.